Let me read the lesson. You might not think so because the lesson's very short. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We're working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. We're taking 1 week for each of the Beatitudes, and this morning's is, very fortunate are those, even happy, are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is a beatitude I have not looked forward to talking about. And you can tell because on Thursday, after having prepared a sermon for today, I thought I'd better take one more look at the passage that we're dealing with, even though I had it memorized. I knew we were on Matthew 5, verse 5, so I turned to Matthew 5, verse 5, and I read, "Blessed are the meek," and I said, oh no, I've been preparing, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So my sermon for next week is done, and I really had to scramble. Blessed are the meek, that's tough. I'm still getting over the idea that the word translated blessed really does mean happy or fortunate or lucky, a word I never thought I'd hear Jesus use. But the meek, that's a word I don't like. I don't know about you, but I just do not like that word. At least I didn't used to like it. Because of the idea that my mind had conceived of what the word meek means. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of words, I often associate a picture with that word. And for better or worse, the picture I associate with the word meek is a welcome mat. Something that people scrape the dust off their shoes with, the mud and everything else, before coming into the house. A doormat. A word that's used for people who in the modern vernacular are meek. We sing about the wonderful Christ child who is so meek and mild. And many of us picture Jesus just this way. Always catering to other people. Never saying no. Always going out of his way to do what others want him to do. The sort of person we would all like to have around, but that most of us would not like to be. Well, you can imagine my surprise when I began looking into that word meek. I've come to the conclusion what we need is a new word. That word is so full of negative connotations that I wonder if we can even capture what the word really meant to Jesus when he used that word. I'd like to begin by saying that there are two people in the Bible who are described as meek. Does anyone know who they are? Moses is one. In fact, he's called the meekest man who ever lived. And the other one calls himself meek. And who would that be? No one wants to guess. You'll find out. Moses. Yes, Moses is someone I would not really associate with the word meek. He seemed more like a thunderbolt than a gentle breeze. So from that passage alone, which appears within the books of Moses, there is this nagging thought in my mind that maybe meek doesn't mean what I think it means. I looked up the original, the Greek word for meek. I'm not going to say it because I can't pronounce it. It's very short. And surprisingly enough, it is actually related to the word friend. If you go back in the English language, back and back, way back, beyond Shakespeare, beyond Geoffrey Chaucer, back to the time of King Arthur and the Round Table, the English word for friend was very close to the Greek word that's translated meek. In order to understand the word correctly, you had to first understand what was implied by the word. In other words, just as today when I hear the word meek, I get a background picture of someone who is submissive to the point of being codependent, almost to the point of being a danger to themselves. Someone who lets people walk all over them, has no spine, has no sense of themselves. Well, in the day when this word was used by Jesus, there was also an assumption that went with the word. Only the assumption was not one of weakness, the assumption was one of strength. The idea behind the word meek is that here is a person who is strong, independent, and able to take care of himself, but who deals with other people gently. The word originally meant assumed strength rather than weakness exploited. It's the opposite of being quarrelsome and high-minded. And if there's any person from contemporary culture, although it's not really contemporary anymore, that I associate with the word meek after going through this study, that person would be Hoss Cartwright from the old Bonanza shows. I knew I was talking to an audience who could appreciate that illustration. When I used to visit Gerald Mallory, he would either have Judge Judy on TV or Little House on the Prairie or Gunsmoke or Bonanza. And I used to watch Bonanza when I was a kid. Bonanza and the Red Skelton Show. And my favorite character on Bonanza was always Hoss Cartwright. The gentle giant, they called him. Here was someone that you knew if he wanted to, he could squish you with his fist flatter than a pancake. And you couldn't have found a more gentle, kind-hearted person. But if you were in trouble, all that strength that was contained within him would come out and be used in your defense. I like that as an illustration of the word meek. When I read this, "The blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," of course, as with all the Beatitudes, I say to myself, how do I become meek? Last week I asked myself, how do I mourn? The week before I said, what's it mean to be poor in spirit? How can I become like that? So when I read "blessed are the meek," the first question is, how do I learn to be meek? And the answer is, find some good examples. Well, I've already mentioned Hoss Cartwright, and I've mentioned Moses. There's one other example I'd like to mention. If your Bibles are open to today's passage, you only have to turn a few pages ahead to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and you'll read these words. We'll start with verse 28. Jesus is speaking. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If Jesus' burden is light, then he is assuming that we have strength enough to bear it. So he's not talking to weaklings. If we were weak and had no spine, there's no way we could carry a yoke. So Jesus is assuming when he uses the word meek and says, "I am meek and I want you to follow my example," he is assuming that there is a core of strength in this person, that that person can choose to be meek, or can choose to be quarrelsome and high-minded. And the imagery of the yoke, I think, is perfect. Because I came across another surprise as I was getting my message ready for today. One place I love to go when I'm reading through a passage of Scripture is the dictionary. I know what words mean to me, but I want to know what they really mean. And meek was one of those words. I was really beginning to get the idea that meekness was something very different than what I had assumed it to be. And so I got out my dictionary and I looked up the word meek. First surprise I came across was that it can, in addition to being an adjective, it can also be a verb. Did you know you could meek somebody? And I also learned there is a second definition besides the definition of gentle, kind, friendly. The second definition is tame. Someone who meeks a horse is someone who tames a horse, breaks a horse, you might say. So another word for meek as an adjective is tame. As if there's a monster inside of us, and somehow we learn how to tame that monster and keep it under control. Well, the question I ask myself is, if meekness means being tamed, who am I being tamed by? When Jesus says, blessed are the meek, does he mean blessed are those who are tamed by everybody that they come across? When Jesus says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, is he saying that he is tame? When I see Jesus turning over the tables in the temple, I don't think the word tame comes to mind. But it all depends on who is doing the taming, because, you know, I've known many dogs who were tame. But if I go to pet them, which is what I instinctively do when I go to visit someone and they have a dog, and the dog comes over to me and expresses interest in me, I want to reach out my hand and pet them. And I've had masters say to me, oh, don't do that. He doesn't like that. And no sooner does the master say that than the dog starts to snarl, and I just sort of carefully bring my hand back and put it in my pocket. I learned that a tame dog can still bark and bite when it needs to, and sometimes will bite on command. A horse can be tamed by one rider and yet refuse every other rider that tries to mount him. I look at Jesus and I say, is Jesus tame? He doesn't seem tame to me. He's always saying things that get people angry. He's always saying and doing unexpected things. He's not very disciplined in that he breaks the Sabbath over and over. But then it occurred to me, yes, he's tame. He has one master, and that's God. And he tells us the same. He says, I don't want you to call anyone on earth your father once you become my disciple, because you have one father, and that's in heaven. And I don't want you calling anyone master, because you have only one master. That's me. Jesus is saying, let me tame you. And once you are tamed, I want you to do whatever I tell you to do, but not necessarily everything that other people tell you to do. Consider this passage from 2 Corinthians as you think about what the word meek means. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first six verses, which I'll condense a little bit. Paul writes, I appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. For though we live in the world, we fight with weapons of divine power. Now wait, he just told us that he was appealing to us by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, and now he's telling us to fight. Though we live in the world, we fight with weapons of divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That does not sound like a doormat to me. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. A doormat? Someone who is gentle and timid? Hardly. And yet Paul is appealing by the meekness of Christ. Apparently meek is a much richer word than I gave it credit for being. So what can we say that Jesus has in mind when he says those who choose to be meek will inherit the earth? What can we assume when we read the words of Jesus, the invitation that says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A few summary things we can say about meekness. First of all, meekness in part means knowing what your rights are, but not demanding them. Having enough strength within yourself and enough confidence in who you are that you don't need the approval of other people to make you feel good about yourself. But that you have only one person ultimately that you want to please, and that's God. And if God tells you to, you will do anything to please him. But if your neighbor tells you to do anything to please him, you will do so only if it doesn't violate your relationship with Christ. If you find that you're yielding to others makes them have a sense of disdain for your faith, and they say, oh, all Christians are pushovers, then it's time to show them that meekness does not involve being a pushover. Of course, if someone wants you to do something illegal or immoral, meekness does not mean that you go along with it just because you're supposed to get along with people. And there are times when, in order to take care of your own needs, you must say no to others. Look at the times Jesus went up in the hills by himself to pray. There are even times in the Gospels when Jesus refused people who came for help, when he said no to people who wanted to be his disciples, when he held out for a higher standard. Meekness means confronting evil, but not with more evil, with good. Sometimes that means that you do what they call sucking it up. You put up with the evil without complaint. Sometimes it means that you voice your complaint, but not in an accusing manner. Simply by way of identifying, we have a problem here. Like the astronauts aboard Apollo 13, Houston, we have a problem. Meekness, and perhaps this is the hardest part of meekness. Meekness means suffering without resentment. Many Christians think that meekness means suffering without speaking up. And then they withhold for themselves the privilege of resenting the person who has caused them suffering. That is not the kind of meekness that Jesus showed. Meekness means suffering without resentment. It means putting up with the sinfulness of others because you realize you live in a sinful world among sinners, of whom you happen to be one. And that very likely the suffering that's coming to you is a suffering that you have dished out on occasion. Meekness is, when you come right down to it, a counterpart to grace. And I contend that wherever grace is present, meekness is present as well. When we speak about grace, we usually think of ourselves as the recipient and God as the giver. God gives us his grace, he's treating us better than we deserve. Now, although the word meek is never associated with God, it is associated with Jesus Christ. And I contend that when Jesus is showing me grace, he is demonstrating meekness. There cannot be grace unless somebody is willing to be meek. Unless someone in a position of strength who has the right to stand up for himself chooses instead to give you the leeway that forgiveness involves, and in a sense give you an opportunity to repeat your mistake if you want to, or to learn from it if you'd rather. And I like that idea of meekness being the counterpart of grace. Because now when I am faced with a situation where God would have me be meek, where my natural response is to bark and to bite, and Jesus with a command says no, I will hold myself back and say to myself, it's nice for a change to be giving grace instead of always needing to receive it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for challenging us with the idea of meekness as an expression of your divine character. We pray that you would help us, for we need your help. Jesus called himself meek, and then offers the Spirit of Christ, whom we call the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us, to develop the character of Christ from within. Help us to understand the difference between being meek and being a pushover. And help us to become strong people who can be meek when it's important to show grace to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.